Hey everybody, welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. I apologize for this week, we're not going to have as great show because I couldn't find a great host, but instead we have Jeff Bertoft on the show.
Thanks, I think. It's great to be here, even though you could have done better.
Anyway. Hey everybody, welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. I hope everyone's doing a great time. Now, for the first time ever, we have a whole new host this time. It took so long to get this host on the show, you won't believe it. It's been about 3 years since I've asked you to be on this show, and you've said no, but this time you had to because you owed me. So now you're on the show, so this is going to be the best show ever.
And for your loyal watchers out there may realize that I've been on the show twice before.
Yeah, but not as a host.
Not as a host.
Not as a host. You were, one time, you were... A little, was it Butler? We're giving us a little drink, one of the shows.
I remember that.
You remember that?
Fun.
Yeah. Anyway, we should probably introduce you to people that are watching this show.
Great.
So your name is?
I am Jeff Bertoft. That's right.
What do you do, Jeff?
Well, I'm a principal program manager here at Microsoft. I work on the same team as Nicola. So
best team ever.
Right. We basically hang out all day and we drink tea. And talk about current events.
That's not what we do at all. Like,
we're not.
We don't drink tea. We don't hang out all day because you live in Texas.
I do. I live in Texas, so we Skype all day. But I work on web apps. So if you want to build any kind of app using web technologies, you should call me.
We'll have your phone number down there. It's going to be scrolling. So if you want to call them, talk about web apps.
Day or night, I have no time zones.
Except when you live in Texas.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, let's talk about the stories. What do you say? So the first story of the day is going to be about Build. So not many people know this, but there's such thing called as the Windows Developer Awards.
That's right. And I would recommend that you all go and vote for me. A last name is Bertoft, B-U-R-T-O-F-T. Except
you do realize you're not on there, right?
Yeah, so...
We can add you, so you know I can
I can
somebody.
Be a write-in, maybe. Right. That would work.
Unfortunately, the voting ends on Thursday, which is before the show already goes in. So by the time people watch the show, the voting would have ended. But either way, it's actually fun to see all the categories and all the different people and apps that were nominated for this. So if you didn't vote, you can still go look back and see all the things that were nominated.
I think it's really great. It's a fun idea. We get to recognize people in the community who are doing really cool stuff.
Yeah.
So if anything, we just look forward to the results.
That's right. And we're going to find out the results most likely by Build, I believe. But it's going to be fun.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, if you do want to show your enthusiasm for Build, which Build is coming. For those who don't know, Build's coming up in about 3 weeks from now. There's a new site, a new tool. That allows you to actually make a social badge. Takes your existing profile image from Twitter and Facebook and adds swag for Build.
And you know, you actually are not required to be signed up for Build to put this on. So of the fans out there who want to show support for Build can go ahead and do this. And those of you who are attending, put this on your profile, make all your friends jealous.
I'm already jealous.
Me too.
Yeah.
And I haven't even put it on my profile yet.
Now, moving on to the next story. So most people don't know this, but Microsoft acquired a new company called Maluba. I like that name.
Maluba.
Maluba. I can say that all day. Maluba.
I don't know that you could say it all day.
Want to bet? Anyway.
Starting now.
Now, interesting thing that Maluba has done is they've released a dialogue data set to make chatbots smarter. So what they've done is they sit down two people next to each other. One person was the customer. The other person was the bot. Pretending to be a bot, and they had a conversation. And the goal here is to collect this information, this conversation that these two people had, to make bots smarter. So right now, bots are not that smart, right?
Well, I would say this way. Bots are getting smarter and smarter every day, right?
But
because it's still pretty impressive as to how much you can do with a bot. But what Maluba is doing is they have this huge data set that we can then ingest with machine learning and apply it to the way that the bots work today so that they feel more like talking with actual people, which is something I'm sure we all want.
It's interesting. Yeah. They also do things about keeping track of conversation and past history of conversation you had. They talk about how if you are talking about a specific destination as in a travel bot, and you try to change the destination, the whole conversation you had before, most of the time is lost because the bot doesn't keep that history. Yeah. Now, what they're trying to do is actually have this notion of frames, that even if you change some of the parameters of the conversation you're having, it still remembers the past conversation, so you can apply that conversation
to
your...
So you change the location, it'll still remember the dates that you wanted to travel, maybe the airline preferences that you had.
It knows what you want to do and et cetera. So it's more natural as if you're speaking to a real person.
Great. I can't wait.
We should build it then.
We should. We're gonna build a bot tonight.
Now, if you're building a bot and if you're building these massively scalable services, a lot of cases you're probably using DocumentDB.
It's a good transition.
It's a very good transition. Thank you. I practiced that. Now, there's a great blog post by Arvind that talks about some use cases or some stories of actual first-party Microsoft services that use DocumentDB on a very massive scale across the globe, across the universe, as you would like to say.
Yes. Yeah, so if you think about how is it that your Xbox game gets to your Xbox, you know, all of the data lookups that have to happen to make that work, DocumentDB is a solution that we at Microsoft use. And the blog post goes through kind of the use cases that we already apply to it, which is kind of a proof of concept of how it can really scale and meet the needs. So this kind of puts you as a developer on par with some of the biggest companies as far as data availability and being able to do you know, queries at lightning speed and things of that sort.
That's right. And you can do all kinds of cool stuff, and it's a great way to see what other services are using. So you may even borrow their architecture. Because, oh, yeah, that makes sense. I'm doing something similar. That brings me up to what I want to do as well.
So you can start really cool. using DocumentDB on Azure today.
Yeah, it's a great blog post. Yeah. Now, speaking of querying things, that's a great transition right there as well.
Another great one.
There's actually a great blog post and a visual lexicon for how Link works or how some of the different methods within Link work that Michael has put together.
It's and actually we're all huge Link fans, right?
Yeah, especially you JavaScript developers
you know,
as yourself.
You don't even know how important it is, but you know, talking about being able to query data quickly, I mean, Link is how it happens, right? So
it is.
Make sure that you have the most precise data queries you can, this chart will do it for you.
I love this because a lot of times when I try to do a Link query is I go through and on Stack Overflow. And it's like, I want to do this.
Right.
And just copy and paste and send my code. And I have no idea exactly how it works. But this is a great way for it to actually go through and, oh, what does the where command do? What does the aggregate command do? What does all these different commands do? Oh, that makes more sense. And I can actually learn it better. And I can actually see it visually, how it actually flows from one to the other.
So now you can print it up,
which is
put
really
it
cool.
on your wall.
I'm going to paint my whole wall
with wallpaper your room with it. Never forget again.
Exactly. Now, for those that don't use, you know, Visual Studio, they might use Visual Studio Code.
Yes.
Right? And Visual Studio Code, for most people know, has a lot of extensions out there that people have already built for. And there's a great blog post by Angela that has aggregated about 50 of these extensions that talks about what they are and gives you just an awareness that these exist.
Yeah, so you know, especially web developers tend to use lighter code editors rather than IDEs. And there's so many extensions in this post that are mentioned that actually apply to the web developer. Everything from Angular, one of my favorite ones actually is the CSS Complete, which is an extension that you can get for Visual Studio. I don't know, when I'm writing multiple pages, you know, you want to use the same classes over and over again, and it happens, you might forget the naming conventions that you've chosen for yourself. Happens to me at least, maybe it's my age. But
you're getting up there.
CSS Complete will add an auto-complete for my class name field so that I can easily just start typing
and
it'll
auto-complete. It's almost like a typed language, look at that.
How about that? Almost.
Almost.
Fills in the gaps. But anyways, this is a great post, you should go check it out because it lists, you know, Angela's top 50 out there and then it can kind of give you some starting points if you want to look for more.
There's a cool ones, and I'm a Visual Studio big IDE developer. I don't really use Visual Studio Code. But one of the ones I've used here is actually the VS Code Random one, which actually what it does is, because we build a lot of demo applications, and we want to have some demo data, like user, people, their address, and all this stuff. It's an extension that actually generates this for you. This is really cool.
So you love random information.
I do random information, yes.
It fits.
I don't know what you're trying to say.
Nothing.
No? Okay, weird. Anyway, let's move on, because this is getting weird now. Now, David Robinson from Stack Overflow has a great blog post on, because you know Stack Overflow has a lot of data about what people are asking for and what languages they're using.
Occasionally, developers will show up there, right?
Occasionally, yes. When Stack Overflow goes down, nothing gets done.
That's right.
But he has a great blog post on what programming languages, or just the data, an analysis of what programming languages people use during the day and what programming languages they use during the night.
That's right.
And just comparison between this. It has more data than that as well. But it's a great blog post to actually see what people want to do.
And it does. And you get to kind of see, they have some charts in there that show the rise and the fall of different types of languages that are used during the day and the request. And what I was able to pull from it is that it seems like the JavaScript developers go to Stack Overflow mostly before lunch and after lunch.
That's weird how that happens. I think that happens for other languages too.
Yeah, I think, you know, like you get angry, right? And you just can't figure it out. Where do you should go to Stack Overflow, find your information there, and then you'll be all good. You can go to lunch. Be happy.
And come back and do it again.
Yeah, you can learn all that from data.
Yeah, so definitely recommend reading this blog post. I learned a lot. I learned Haskell is probably one of the most popular languages after work.
I know, I was gonna guess that too, so.
Sure you were. Anyway, I'm gonna move on to the picks of the week. So my pick of the week is, there is, NASA pulls up every year, they have a hackathon called the Space Apps Challenge.
I think you have to say it this way. Space Apps Challenge.
The Space Apps Challenge.
There you go.
There you go. Thank you. So what they do is they actually have a weekend hackathon. It's during the weekend. So it's this upcoming weekend right now. Or if you watch it next week, is the previous weekend. You'll figure it out. It's in April 29th to the 30th. And there's different challenges. There's challenges about how to use the data that NASA has put out there. There's tons and tons of data that NASA has collected about the universe, about the Earth, about all kinds of different things. How do you take this data and how do you do cool things with it? And they have different challenges about nature, about different things you could be doing. So it's a great way to actually, you know, they have about, I think last year they had about 15,000 people that actually did this hackathon across 160 different locations. Yep. So it's a huge hackathon.
Yeah.
So it's a great, people should actually try and do this. And if you have a free weekend, definitely recommend it.
It's good for NASA too because they put out a lot of data every year, and you know, developers might not know what can be done with it. So this is kind of an opportunity for them to get them started and let the developers get started on consuming all that data that's there.
Yeah, it's open API and everybody can use. It's incredible.
It should be fun.
Yeah. What's your pick of the week?
All right, my pick of the week. So we recently is the blog post link in there as well?
Yeah.
Okay, so go check it out on the Windows blog about use of the DIO API. I have actually been playing with the DIO all week, and it's a lot of fun to use. If you have builds that are from the anniversary update on, that API will appear there. I actually have a little demo, so maybe if you want to go back to my machine, you can see it. And you know, it's a work in progress, but the blog post goes through how to implement this in XAML and C#. I'm doing it in JavaScript. You can do it both ways. It's a quite familiar interface for you. I have a little app built here and pull it up. And what I'm able to do here is I'm adding two new sections. One's called Who's the Man? And strangely, my picture seems to appear automatically.
Are you using some kind of AI there, or is it?
I think it's just built into the DIO. Because when I go to Who's Not the Man, Nicola's picture pops up.
Interesting how that
and
happens
in case you can't
on your
see
machine.
That on the screen, I think I have a screenshot there, a little bigger for you to see. But yeah, it's actually really quite easy to build this in, add your new sections to the DIO, and then handle different functionality. One I have going through different sections, one I have changing the background.
So as you're rotating on the dial and you're clicking.
As I rotate on the dial, yeah. So pretty cool. And you can learn how to do that yourself. There's a blog post out there already. So
awesome. And then
pick of the week.
Is this code somewhere that people can get?
It's on my GitHub.
I should probably put the link down there.
Yeah.
If people are interested. Awesome. Yeah. So I think that's all we had today. This is actually the first time I think we've done a live coding demo, which is interesting.
Well,
so
I didn't actually write any code. I just showed the code that I was writing.
Apologies, Mr. Technical. Anyway, I'm curious to see what people think about doing actual demos like this on this show. So if you do have any feelings about this one way or other, just let us know in the comments.
If I would have known that I was, you know, going to set a precedent, I would have worked a little harder to actually do that.
Well, if I told you this, it wouldn't be as fun.
Well.
Anyway, so thanks everybody for joining us for this week on Channel 9, and we'll see you next time.
Yep. Thanks.
Bye.